Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Today, Boston Mayor Marty Walsh and 214 mayors from across the country wrote a letter to Senate leaders urging them to immediately call the body back into session and pass bipartisan gun safety legislation. The letter is signed by both Republican and Democratic mayors, including Mayor DeMargo of El Paso, Texas, and Mayor Nan Whaley of Dayton, Ohio. It's also signed by Annapolis Mayor Gavin Buckley. Annapolis is where a gunman killed five people at the Capital Gazette newspaper last year. Rob Hyacin, Gerald Fishman, John McNamara, Rebecca Smith, and Wendy Winters. Mayor Buckley knows the pain a community can suffer firsthand, and he has a powerful message to mayors around the country as they try to think about this happening in their community.
Out of this horror, you will see the human spirit in your community triumph. And so not to give in, but to move forward, we owe it to our country to try to make this a better place.
We're going to hear more from Annapolis Mayor Gavin Buckley in just a moment, but we want you to call us. What do we need from our local leaders in times like this? How can Bostonians support other communities in moments of tragedy? Are you afraid now? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And you can send us a tweet at Radio Boston. Mayor Gavin Buckley spoke with us earlier today. He began by telling us how he reacted after the two mass shootings this weekend.
You feel for the victims. You feel for the people the first responders that have to clean up the carnage. And then, you get angry, you know, and then you go, how can we let this be the new normal?
You wrote an open letter to the communities of Dayton and El Paso in the Capital Gazette, and you said, quote, "I can tell you from personal experience that your cities will never be the same. You will never be the same," end quote. How is Annapolis different now than it was before the shooting?
I think, you know, it's affected journalism in a fashion. I think, you know, younger people are questioning whether it's really worth the risk now. And our city's different because we've lost people that we all cared about. We see the journalists that dealt with that were in the newsroom at City Hall, and we know that they're never going to be the same. We know the editor of that newspaper is never going to be the same. I think that you just feel deeply for those guys more so than yourself. And then we see the first responders. I mean, these are people who run to danger when we all have to run to safety, but it's got to affect them, the trauma of that.
Mayor Buckley, I have to imagine that when you became mayor of Annapolis, you didn't particularly imagine that guiding your community through this kind of loss and grief would be part of your responsibility. How are you different today?
Look, I'm emboldened to try to do something about it. We run for office and not to be politicians, but to make a difference. And so if we can do anything to change the situation in our country, then we all have an obligation to do that. So I'm joining with other mayors together. We're going to push hard at the next mayor's winter conference. And why I think it's important for mayors to push hard on this stuff is because, you know, a lot of mayors are elected in a bipartisan fashion. It doesn't seem to be getting any traction when we blame one side or the other. But we know one thing for sure, when these shooters come into our communities, they don't see Republicans or Democrats. They just kill people, right? And so we have a responsibility to our constituents and to our children and to our grandchildren to actually do something about what is happening in the country.
As part of the aftermath in Annapolis, Mr. Mayor, you actually took specific measures. Last year, you wrote in the Capital Gazette that you would be asking police to track all kinds of data related to gun violence in your community, like the percentage of crimes involving guns and if those guns were acquired legally or illegally. Has that effort led to any change in local regulations?
So, you know, it's hard to change gun laws when you're restricted federally and statewide, but I do look up to Mayor Peduto from Pittsburgh. Their city council put forward legislation, and the minute that was voted upon, the NRA and their lawyers sued them personally. So they took steps to make a stand against an organization that doesn't have a millimeter of compromise in it. I don't believe they're a credible organization, and I think you're seeing that play out in public now. They need to just do the common sense things. No one wants to stop hunters. No one wants to take away sporting rifles or anything like that. But some things are just common sense.
What's one common sense piece of legislation that you think really should immediately be passed federally?
We don't need rapid fire weapons. You can have a shotgun, you can have a handgun if that's what you need, if you believe in protecting your homestead thing or whatever it is that motivates you to need to be armed. You need to have background checks. You need to have a license to have a gun. All those things are just common sense things for good gun owners. Most gun owners agree that a background check is just should be standard. And then we can work on, I believe we should have some kind of buyback scheme nationally when it comes to rapid fire weapons or assault weapons.
Did you have these same positions on gun and gun policy before the shooting in Annapolis, or did anything change for you in terms of your attitudes towards guns after the shooting?
Yeah, I think it made me feel like I needed to do something, that I owed that to the victims, to keep the pressure on, not to just give them my thoughts and prayers, but to actually step up and do something. So we had a gun summit, a Safe City Gun Summit, that not only addressed mass shootings in this city. We had a Safe City Gun Summit on the grounds of our college, which is the third oldest college in the country, St. John's College. The founding fathers gathered in that place. We had a Liberty Tree there. They must have talked about the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the First Amendment. You know, so. But it's ridiculous that we have these killing machines allowed to civilians. We shouldn't be allowed to have those.
Mr. Mayor, today you and your city, you know, you're offering support to other communities that have, as you say, joined a club they never wanted to be a part of. In 2013, Boston joined that club after the Marathon terrorist bombing. What is your advice to residents of Greater Boston or other cities who have sadly joined this club and who want to show up for or stand with residents in El Paso or Dayton today?
First of all, as you know, this stuff can happen to any city in the country. You are not immune to this. So whether it's extremists of any type, whether that's white supremacy or, you know, religious extremists, they're all just as lethal to our community. So we have to stand up and not make these events make us stronger and make us come together to come up with common sense solutions. What's good about Mayor is that a lot of us are voting into office in a bipartisan fashion. So there has to be a bipartisan solution to this.
You have really sadly earned wisdom from your own experience. So sadly, there is a mayor somewhere now who one day is going to wake up one morning with the burden of leadership in the aftermath of an event like this. What is one thing you would say in guidance to that person facing that burden?
Look, none of us want to get that phone call. None of us see it in the manual when we sign up to be mayors, but it seems like it's coming. It seems like it's around the corner for every city. So what is going to be the tipping point? I can tell you that we did drills before the shooting at the Capitol Gazette. Wendy Winters was at that drill. I watched as we called in a shooting at the school that we were doing the drill at. The police force came through the back door. They stepped over simulated injuries. They made their way around the corner to get to the shooter where they were going to take the shooter down. And then at that point, Wendy Winters was covering that story 1 week before that actual horror actually came to her newsroom. So preparing is one thing, but really what has to happen is less guns. And mental health needs to be addressed. We need to put money into mental health because we know what we have in this country. We have a lethal cocktail. That lethal cocktail is unaddressed mental health issues with easy access to weapons. And that's the sort of reason we're seeing so much carnage.
That's Annapolis Mayor Gavin Buckley. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Call us. Boston has experienced great tragedy. What lessons have we learned through our pain that could be useful to other cities as they're trying to heal from the recent tragedies they've experienced? Arlene from Danvers, you're on the line. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. As I said previously, I am so upset by everything that has gone on and continues to go on. As a Latino woman, it is frightening because clearly, you know, we're ethnic looking and you know, we are right now a target. But there are instances where it's just a mass of people. And yes, as the Annapolis mayor said, it's important that we take a look at background checks and make it a must, as well as, you know, healthcare when it comes to mental health, because if nowadays you call for a counselor or to see a mental health practitioner, and it's months sometimes before you can actually get an appointment. So unless you're going through some kind of crisis, and then at that point, you know, it's scary.
Arlene, I'm so sorry for your fear. I can hear it in your voice. I'd love to have other callers join and share their thoughts and feelings right now, too. 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. We also have another voice on the line. Bobby Dyer is the mayor of Virginia Beach. In May, a city employee killed 12 people and injured 4 at a municipal building there. Mayor Dyer, welcome to Radio Boston.
Oh, hey, it's a pleasure to be on with you. Thank you.
I appreciate you joining us. You know, we just heard from Annapolis Mayor Gavin Buckley about his experience. How has your city changed since the mass shooting in May?
Well, I'll tell you, first it was a state of shock and then it's a state of grief. And now we're in the process of healing. But I can tell you that what has been overwhelming was the reaching out by, you know, not only people in our city, but from the adjacent cities, from the rest of the Commonwealth in Virginia and this country. We feel the prayers and, you know, it's the unity and, you know, in spite of this tragedy, you know, we're going to find opportunity to come together as a stronger community.
Mayor Dyer, paint that picture for us. What did that reaching out look like? What did cities do? What did communities do? Make that really clear for us.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, just even speaking to the, you know, the mayor of Orlando and, you know, we had other things, you know, people just calling and, you know, obviously the immediate time, you know, right after the tragedy, you know, it's an overwhelming thing, but a lot of people reaching out, but there was a lot of logistics and, you know, we had to do a number of interviews to, you know, inform, you know, the public what was going on and things of that nature. But, you know, you have the grim task of, you know, family notification and getting grief counselors on board and, you know, a tremendous amount of logistics were involved.
Mayor Dyer, as some of the logistics were handled and you moved into the next stage, what did you find was the best way as a city leader to help families of victims and the larger community begin to heal?
Well, I'll tell you what, we did a great job. We had members of our honor guard from the police and fire departments actually work with the families. And, you know, but there's another element, too, that we have to bring up. Yes, you know, we had 12 fatalities and 4 woundings, but we had over 300 people in the building that witnessed the carnage that went on, too, that we have to take and, you know, really embrace and, you know, give them also a strong priority, too. And, you know, the main thing was to get the counseling and they got the employees together at different situations and just trying to help because there are so many people impacted by this. It's not only the families, it's the coworkers, but it's also the community at large. And, you know, it's an overwhelming task that we're, and it's going to be a lifelong endeavor for us. This is not a short-term situation.
Did you learn anything from other mayors who've experienced similar tragedies in their cities?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's, you know, I kind of sense some of the frustration because, you know, like even in, from what I understand, Las Vegas, they're not sure why the shooter did what we did. You know, we're still looking into it. We have 2 concurrent investigations going on. And, you know, I hate to say that some of this, these, you know, where now people's family members, friends, and coworkers might be within a flash of a second, you know, willing to do great evil and harm to fellow man is a great concern to everybody.
And have you reached out to other mayors whose cities have had mass shootings since your own?
I have calls in to San Jose and Dayton. But once again, sometimes, you know, I appreciate the fact that they're inundated. And what I would like to do eventually is get all the mayors that have been involved. And as the previous mayor said, the club that nobody wants to join, and maybe get together and come together as a group and talk to each other and, you know, talk about what there. Once again, there's no playbook on how to react. Our situation was unique because it was a government municipal building. But when you look around and, you know, see the locations of what goes on with this carnage, it could be a synagogue, it could be a Walmart, it could be almost anywhere these days.
If you reach either the mayor of El Paso or the mayor of Dayton briefly, what do you want to say?
Well, I would tell them that, you, once again, you know, what gets us through is prayer and knowing that people are out there that are caring. And then if we have to share any resources, whether it be on, you know, the response neither by our police or any of our city services, that we're here for them if we could be of service to them in any way. But once again, it's just knowing that we're coming together as a nation and as a community, you know, to embrace the folks that were going through this because we've been through it ourselves.
Virginia Beach Mayor Bobby Dyer, thanks for joining us on Radio Boston.
It was my privilege. Thank you.
Let's take a couple more calls. Anne from Auburn, you're on the line. What's on your mind?
Well, I just got out of the crisis stabilization unit in Worcester last evening. I checked myself into the ER because I was suicidal on July 4th, and I was begging for help.
How are you now? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm concerned about our mental health system. Most of the people that I met, the other patients, were decent people, down on their luck, and having substance abuse problems. And there were plenty of programs for them. I do not have a substance abuse problem. Just a lot of physical issues and the depression just really crept up on me. Haven't worked in almost 2 years. And there is no help in the Massachusetts mental health system for someone like me who only has major depression with anxiety disorder without substance abuse. There's a trillion programs out there for people who have dual diagnoses, but nothing out there for someone like me begging for help. And they basically have nothing for us.
And I'm glad you're okay. I appreciate you calling. I'm sorry that you felt unsupported, but your call gives us an opportunity to share with other listeners an important resource, which is 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255. That's the Suicide Prevention Hotline. I'd like to take more calls, but we have to go to a break. Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.